Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies not covered by any other Movie by Minute shows. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
Hello, my name is Lars Cadman, and I am the indie author of the Midnight Devotion series, all about vampires and an emo pop rock band.
And tonight we are discussing Blade, minutes 20 to 25. And Lars is back on the show from when she was on here for From Dusk Till Dawn. And we start off our 5 minutes with Frost being called into the meeting because he's so cool. And it's just like, you know, that's just his thing. He's got cool swagger and he's basically the Spike of this movie.
He definitely has the early 2000s hair as well. He was like ahead of his time by like a couple years.
It's definitely clear that he is the, you know, the badass boy of the vampire community. He defies the elders. He's also apparently a turned vampire, not a bred vampire. In this universe, vampires can be born as babies and children, which I think is just weird and unusual. In the Blade TV series that follows this movie trilogy, they even show that to us with a little girl who's like a head of the vampire council, and she's you know, born that way. And of course, you know, she has vampires that were bred, you know, turned answer to her. So, you know, that's why they don't seem to like Frost too much. Now in Hotel Transylvania, if you remember, that was also a thing. Dracula had a daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, it was 18 human years, but she was like 150 years old. So,
yeah, I don't get the logistics of that. So essentially, Deacon is the filthy mudblood of the Vampire Council, to say the least.
Correct. And so there's different houses in this. I don't know if this is who that's all here that's represented, but there's like, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 different council members overall throughout the Blade universe. But there's only 12 of these purebloods that are here in the film.
It makes you wonder, like, where the rest of them are. It could be like a future scene where they just suddenly appear. We don't know.
Correct. There's the Ashe tribe, the Sientetato tribe, the Dragon Eddie tribe, which I think is Udo Kier's. I think Dragon Eddie is supposed to be Udo Kier's character.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
okay.
It is.
So Udo Kier is probably the most notable of these vampires in the film. He is a longtime actor, still alive today, usually playing like a bad leader, Nazi kind of person. Simple enough to cast him as a Nazi sometimes because he is from Germany. He was born at the end of the Second World War.
Yeah, 1944.
Yeah, he's 80 years old at this point today. He's been doing a lot of voiceover work these last several years. But it's funny that he was born in Nazi-controlled Germany at the end of World War II. So that's kind of funny. He also played Once Upon a Time. I believe he was in the film Blood of Dracula, which is a famous, I wouldn't say it's an exploitation movie, but it's this like it's a famous movie by Andy Warhol, if you know who that is.
I know who Andy Warhol is, yes.
Okay. So Udo Kier played Dracula in that film Once Upon a Time. He was the Count Dracula.
Yeah.
So that was probably obviously why they would cast him as the head of the Vampire Shadow Council, as they're called, in this movie. It's the House of Erebus. And these are the elders of the House of Erebus. And the Book of Erebus is what they would answer to as their version of the Bible.
Really?
Just to give it some backstory that we never get in the film, by the way. This is all like, I think, you know, stuff they come up with later on.
It could be in the films.
Yeah, so there's Ashe, like I said, Sanantetato, Fautitinos, Kobe Jitsu, Lumur, Ligaru, Lois Showman, Palantine, Ubier, Von Esper, and then La Magra, aka Frost.
Yeah.
Dragon Eddie meets his untimely demise later on in the movie, and that's a whole other 5 minutes that we'll get to. But
that's not on our agenda today.
No.
We're focusing on this dick measuring contest between the councils and calling each other filthy mudbloods.
The what's funny is that in order to play Count Dracula for his movie, Kier lost 20 pounds in order to give himself the more gaunt-like look that a vampire would have.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes they're very skinny looking, aren't they? Like, show some rib cages and everything.
Yeah, in the book The Last Vampire by Christopher Pike, who was kind of writing teen young adult horror novels around the same time the Fear Street novels were being written by R.L. Stine. He's had one of his book series turn into a Netflix show, which got canceled after one season. And of course, recently this past weekend, Fear Street Prom Queen came out on Netflix based on the novel by R.L. Stine in the Fear Street books.
Yes, it did.
But I digress. So he had a 6-book series called The Last Vampire, which is about a female vampire who thinks she's the only vampire left alive, but there's in fact like another one causing all sorts of murders, and she's not like above like that at all. That's not to say she's not a good person in the series, but no. I remember there's a description in her book or someone else's book, because she strips down to her panties, and someone points out that her breasts looked incredibly large on her incredibly thin, frail frame, as like the vampire just not having a lot of meat on the bones, but her having very large breasts.
Yeah, definitely would need some breast reduction surgery to hide that.
Sure, if she was, you know, she was into it. I'm either way about it. But anyway, so there's Judson Scott played Palantine. He's one of the other members of the Vampire Council that we see. He was best known as the second in command aboard Khan's ship in the Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Oh, really? Yes, I remember that movie now.
So
yes.
He was one of the Vampire Council members, is one of the, he's the second in command to the to Khan. He's the one who says, you are the superior leader, and then dies in Khan's arms. And then Khan, like, hugs him really tightly, and then that's the end of it.
Star Trek is always connected to something.
There's Von Esper, as I mentioned. That's played by Earl Van Douglas. He is pretty much known for this, and that's about it. There's Slavic Vampire Lord, which probably might not be one of these guys. This might be somebody from the end of the film, because there is that end of the film sequence where Blade goes to Russia. And then there's a ton of uncredited roles in the film as vampire, woman in elevator, vampire, 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 sword thrower, Frost's goon, Frost goon, Frost goon, bloodbath vampire, blood vampire lord. Well, there's another one. Aruni Levy. He was a banquet guest in True Lies, and he was one of the villagers in Dracula Dead and Loving It, just for any kind of vampire connection. He was also on The Nanny, if you ever watched that.
I have not, no.
Okay. It's about a American nanny goes to work for a British millionaire, and of course they eventually fall in love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fran Dresser was the star of it. But other than that, we don't have too many other people listed for the Vampire Council, which is unusual, like, on the IMDb, so I don't have very much else to go on with that. But I digress. Frost says we should be ruling the humans and not hiding from them.
Yeah, he's like, fuck the rules. We should be conquering this world, you know, with a more superior race. And then essentially, like, just smoking about, chilling, just basically being the regular badass, just kicking back, saying, you know, we are the superior race. We should be ruling these people, not, you know, just having them as allies. You know, they're our food sources, basically.
And then the scene switches.
Yeah, it does. Like, it's for 5 minutes, it kind of, there's like 3 scenes, isn't there? And like, for the few times I've been on this podcast, we usually talk about one scene where one thing's happening. Now we're doing a movie that's quite fast paced where 3 things happen in the span of 5 minutes.
Right. Where does Blade go?
He goes to like a herbalist shop of someone he knows to collect, like, what I assume is essence of garlic, which is a jar of white substance, which reminded me a lot of Gaviscon, the heartburn medication, if you know what that is. It's very popular in the UK, but let's just say it's absolutely gross stuff. But yeah, he goes over, he pays in expensive looking Rolex watches.
Looks like Rolex watches he took off of vampires.
Yes. That's where I was thinking.
I think this is Cam. Is that his name? I don't remember Blade saying who this guy's name is.
No, I don't recall it either. Like, I'm just having a look now. Doctor, no, that's not them.
It's a black guy. It's a very young black guy. Yes. Younger than Wesley Snipes at the time. I want to say this is possibly Cam, because there's a guy listed as Cam. And let's face it, there's not really a lot of other black characters in this movie besides Blade and the Doctor. It's a very heavy white cast, and that's okay. I mean, and Blade's mom, too. But we don't get very many other African characters, African British, African American, or just black in general. So it's kind of funny. There's martial arts kid. There's a scene earlier where Blade, there's a young girl doing a bunch of karate. Later on in the movie, there's a girl doing a bunch of karate stuff, and that's a black girl as well. But I think this is Cam. I'm almost positive it's Cam because it's not listed as like a cult dealer. But yeah, this is where Blade gets the stuff he needs for his serum in order to make it. And then we switch back to the secret compound.
Yeah, we're basically waking up, like seeing Karen waking up to a mysterious looking warehouse. And if you were in her position, wouldn't you just be like either questioning whether you're about to get tortured or you've just been saved? It's like a bit of a 50-50 chance of either being kidnapped for torture purposes or kidnapped for safety.
I mean, it would definitely, as a woman, put me in a precarious position of just like checking my stuff to make sure that nothing happened to me. I mean, obviously she got bitten in the neck, so I'm not saying that there would be any kind of assault, but it would definitely put me in a position of just freaking out. You know, you're with these two full-grown men. You don't know who they are. There's tons of arsenal everywhere.
Especially since one of them threw you across the street from one building to another and dislocating your arm.
I forgot about that, yeah.
That was one of the funniest scenes in the movie. It was just so out of the blue. It's like, oh, this poor bloody woman. Yeet her across the way. Oh, bless her. Mm. So, yeah, she basically wakes up, not restrained, and the first thing she does is have a bit of a gander, and she finds her, like, a shrine that is in the corner of the room, which I'm assuming is, like, a prayer thing for Blade to use.
Right, and that's pretty much how our 5 minutes end, is she finds Blade's arsenal, and that's it. We end right there.
There's also, she finds his mom's driver's license, which is just randomly placed in the middle of the table. That's another thing that she comes across.
Before she uncovers the sword, right?
It's before the sword, yes.
Okay, so yeah, so then she does find Blade's driver's mom's driver's license. Yeah, I'm probably curious about who this woman is.
Yeah.
And of course, we know that is Blade's mom from the earlier scene in the movie, the opening sequence where we get his origin story. And that is his origin story right there. You know, it's his... Yeah. Bruce Wayne's parents getting shot in the alley, or Krypton exploding, or Uncle Ben, you know, getting shot in the alley, you know, from at home with the tragedy that would spur the hero, basically. Well, that's it for our 5 minutes of this movie. Laws, when was the first time you'd ever seen Blade?
It was about 15 years ago. It was one of those movies that my parents watched on a regular, and I was aware of his existence, but could never watch it because I was too young until I was in my 20s, like my early 20s was when I first watched it. So this is like my second viewing in like 15 years. So yeah, like it's been a while, but I forgot how campy it is, but like lived up to the hype of like what it was like the late 2000s. Like kind of reminds me like the Matrix era. So this is definitely like up in that alley of what I like call the Matrix period.
Mm-hmm.
It's like underground hit, like booming bass music for definite, like that the sprinkler scene was the only thing I knew of the Blade movie growing up, and then learning a bit more until I was like old enough and was shown it by like an old like partner at the time, and you know, understanding why my parents enjoyed it when I was growing up.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook at Loz Cadman Books. You can find me on Instagram at Sherry_Rabbit_Loz. And you can find me on X at Loz Cadman. And you can buy Midnight Devotion and its new sequel, Tarnished Hearts, which is Midnight Devotion Volume 2, on Amazon and all of the available websites that sell your book.
You can find me over on my regular radio show, Radio of Horror, or you can pick up a copy of my vampire book, Vlada, A Dracula Tale. And I'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting 5 minutes of Blade here on the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast. We'll be right back.